kept asking me this morning if I was nervous, and I wasn't. When everybody kept asking me, are you ready? I still wasn't nervous. Even when I was getting dressed this morning, I wasn't nervous. But just now when they were singing the hymn of meditation and I knew that I was next, I got like this weird feeling. I got this weird feeling in my stomach, and I finally understood what the phrase butterflies in my stomach meant. But I know that I got this because God is on my side. Okay. So first off, thank you to Pastor Wegar and the McCarters for giving me this opportunity. I really appreciate it. And a special thank you to my friends, the ones that go to my school, for listening to my sermon ideas over and over and over and over again, each time making noises funnier than the last. My goal was to get all of my laughs out so that when today came, I wouldn't laugh at all, because I know that this is serious. We'll see how that goes. To every father and or father figure here today, I wish you a joyous Father's Day. In honor of this Father's Day weekend, I've entitled my message, A Letter to the Perfect Father. Please bow your heads as we pray before going into the Word. Dear God, thank you for assembling us all here this morning. Please open everyone's ears so that they may hear the Word that you have for us. Thank you for blessing me and giving me the opportunity that I might present it to your people. I know that I can do this with you. Thank you. Amen. Our first and central text this morning comes from Ezekiel 22:30. Please stand and read along with me. That's Ezekiel 22:30. And this is from the New International Version. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. You may be seated. Have you ever had to stand in the gap for someone, intercede on someone else's behalf? The idea of standing in the gap comes from that verse. God is searching and waiting for people to stand in the gap. In times like these, we need someone to act as a go-between, an intercessor, if you will. The word intercessor is commonly used to describe such a person. A go-between for your sisters and brothers who just haven't gotten it yet. A go-between for your sisters and brothers who need some extra help. Just as many people in the Bible bridge the gap for others, we, as Christians, have the privilege to intercede proactively on others' behalf. On behalf of our family, friends, and those who don't yet follow Jesus. Like Abraham, who pleaded with the Lord to spare the righteous people of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18. Or like Moses in Exodus chapter 32, the Bible says, but Moses sought the Father of the Lord his God. O Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. These are prime examples of prayers of intercession changing things. An intercessor that fills in the gaps for others can be seen in our society today in many instances. A perfect example is a father, specifically a good father. Fathers are seen as head of the household, the man in charge. A good father prays for his children. He prays that they will seek and find God for themselves, that God will have mercy on them and call them back to him. Now, to be a good father, the male needs a model, a father he can look up to that serves as an example. But where does he find one? Where does he look? How does he know where to look? Is there even such a thing as a perfect father? Pastor Wegar, you as a father may ask, who can I look up to as an example of a perfect father? Well, I'm glad that you asked. A perfect example of a good father is none other than our Lord and Savior. He intercedes for us when the devil tries to pull us away from him and his love. During camp meeting this past week, Pastor Helvis Moody was a presenter for our noon wrap sessions. Friday's message was that it is important to choose now whose side you will stand on when the end is near. We all know the popular kids game, in the river, on the bank. So when push comes to shove, will you be in the river on sinking sand or on the bank with Jesus on solid ground? In our lives, there's a constant struggle between being on the Lord's side or falling into the devil's trap. The Bible tells us that the devil is only here to steal, kill, and destroy. Luckily, we have a Father in heaven that looks down upon us in love and picks us up even when we fall. A good father is gentle and loving, but also has rules for his children to follow. A good father sacrifices for his children. Our Heavenly Father led by example. He gave his son Jesus' life so that we may live. A good father will do anything for his children. He is knowledgeable about the important things that will help him and his family grow. I can vividly remember watching a movie with my grandpa when I was 8 years old. I don't remember the title of the movie, but I remember the screen flashed to a woman in the hospital. She was giving birth. And she screamed so loud. She just kept screaming in agony, and I knew that she was in pain. I turned to my grandpa, and I said, "Yuck, I'm never having a baby." He laughed, and I could tell that he was a little relieved. But instead of giving a relieved, sigh, he said, "Well, yes, that's true. It does hurt, but after it's over, you'll have a beautiful baby." And I looked at him, and I said, "You're a man. What do you know?" So yes, while a man may not know it all, a good father knows the important things, things like his Bible, and even the small things, like how to make your cuts and scrapes all better. Yes, the perfect example of a good father is right in front of us, God. We all know how our court system works, right? We use precedents. In case you didn't know, a precedent is a case that establishes a principle or rule. This principle or rule is then used in later cases with similar issues or facts. Our Constitution does not list what the court should do in every situation, so there are examples to follow, hence the word precedents. In this context, God serves as a precedent to the Father in the world today. He is the perfect example to follow. I want to tell you about a letter that I wrote when I was in the third grade. Our teacher, Ms. Santangelo, wanted the class to write letters to our fathers for Father's Day. I was the first one to raise my hand, and I said, "Ms. Santangelo, I ain't got no daddy," because I didn't know him. And she said, "Well, DP," that's what she used to call me. I hated that nickname, but she thought it was really cute. "Well, DP," she said, "everyone has a father." Again, I looked at her like she was crazy. She might as well have told me that pigs could fly or that the cow really did jump over the moon. So I did what any logical person would do, and I went home, and I looked on Google, and I typed in Darielle's father. Don't judge me. I was 7. I remember going through all of the links, and the last link I clicked on brought me to a website that had a picture of a man in a white robe with long brown hair. I automatically knew that it was Jesus. The website talked about how God was everyone's father, and he loved us all just the same. He loved us so much that he gave us his son, gave his son's life up just so that we may live. And for that, we are forever in debt to him. And he never stops giving to us. Time and time again, he intercedes for us and gives us grace. I was so happy that day because I knew that I had a father that I could call my own. I could write a letter to my Heavenly Father. I ran into class the next day, clutching the letter in my hand. But then I was crushed when I got to my desk and I realized I didn't even know the address to heaven. So when I told my teacher, she smiled and assured me that God would get my letter if I just addressed it to heaven. So on the envelope, I wrote, "To Heaven," and I mailed it off. I don't know where that letter ever ended up. But sometimes I like to think that God got it and read it. And maybe he even told me thank you. But today I want to thank him for giving us the perfect example of a perfect father. one we can always count on and that will comfort us when we need it most, because we all need a comforter in the world today. December 14th is a day that for me will live in infamy. It was the day of the first school shooting I ever remember hearing about. Since Sandy Hook, more than 400 people have been shot in over 200 school shootings. Every day that I get up and go to school, I don't know whether I'll return home. Whenever a fire alarm sounds, my heart stops because I remember reading somewhere that that's how Nicholas Cruz got the kids at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School to come running out of their classrooms so that he could shoot them one by one. This is the world we live in. So every day when I wake up, before I say, "Lord, will you?" I say, "Lord, thank you." Yes. Have you done that today? Have you thanked God for being such a great father to you, to us all? We need a comforter in this world, and we find the great comforter in him. I put my trust in him, and I am comforted because I know he is all-seeing, all-knowing, and almighty. The world we live in today is quickly coming to a ruin. If you do not teach your children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. And the pressure is so great to just turn the other cheek and let yet another one bite the dust. But see, a good father knows his calling here is to be like God in every situation of life. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. 1 John 3:1. I'll leave you with this. God has set an example of a good father for us all because he is the perfect father. The only question is, are you up for the challenge? All of the fathers here today, if you're up for the challenge, please stand with me.